I am really pleased to have John Camara, who has a Master's of Science from the Florida Institute of Technology in Space Systems. He's a retired lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy and served as a chief engineer on nuclear submarines and also the associate tech fellow with National Aerospace Corporation. Now, John, I'm going to just veer off a little bit. Is it politically incorrect to talk about nuclear power? Do you find that there's a lot of opposition?
Huge amount of opposition. Of course, people tend to think that nuclear power is not the way to go. They, of course, have Hanford in their backyard. Hanford, Washington is a site where they did nuclear weapons research, and the place is contaminated because we didn't have controls in place like we do nowadays. Again, that sticks in people's minds.
Well, and some of the fears come from the accident, which was not too long ago at Chernobyl in Russia. What is the difference there?
A couple things to point out. Let's compare Chernobyl to Three Mile Island. Chernobyl, one, it was a reactor that did not have a dome on it, that classical dome that's meant to enclose the reactor itself. And if anything happens, the radiation is released inside that dome. It didn't have that type. The Soviets really didn't care a whole lot about safety, and so that reactor didn't have that. Number two, that was a research reactor in addition to making power. And so it had something called a positive temperature coefficient of reactivity. And let me explain that for a minute. What that means is when the power goes up, the temperature goes up because you're generating more electricity. And as a result, with that temperature going up, more of the neutrons, which are part of the chain reaction that must occur for the reactor to keep operating, more of the neutrons survived, and therefore power would go up. So the cycle is power goes up, temperature goes up, power goes up, and then it repeats. So you need the intervention of man to keep this under control. None of our nuclear reactors, commercial nuclear reactors in this country, operate with a positive temperature coefficient of reactivity. None of the Navy reactors do. They all have a negative temperature coefficient, which means that when power goes up, the temperature goes up, the neutrons actually leak out, and therefore power comes back down. So without an operator actually touching anything, the power will automatically come back down to the level that you're requesting. What I mean by that is if you're drawing steam off a generator and you open a valve up wider, more steam comes off, the temperature of the reactor drops, more power is generated, and then it levels off, all without an operator touching anything. So it's an inherently safe type system compared to what they were using at Chernobyl. One of the other things I want to bring up about the waste, because the waste is the issue for nuclear power. It truly is.
Yucca Mountain was an example recently of...
Yucca Mountain is still on the... It is a site in Nevada where they want to store the waste, and it's still on the political agenda trying to push it through. It's been years and years. There is no scientific reason for not pushing it through now. It's all political, in my view. And the waste itself... What I want to point out is, consider this. If, let's use this analogy of your car. You have a full tank of gas. You use a quarter of a tank of the gas, and then you throw it away, and you fill it back up. That's what we're doing by putting the waste in Yucca Mountain right now. This is what I mean by that. In order to get a chain reaction to occur, you need a certain amount of uranium. Let's say 100 units, whatever those units are. It turns out that you burn, that's the common term, you burn 3 to 5% or 3 to 5 units of that fuel, and then you can no longer make the chain reaction work. So you have to refuel the reactor. Well, 95% of that fuel in there can be used again. All you have to do is add another 3 to 5%. But instead, we have what's called a once-through fuel cycle, and we're taking that fuel and we're burying it. So it's like using a quarter of your tank of gas and then burying the rest. And it makes no sense at all in my book. You should recycle that material. And by recycling that material using this method called pyrometallurgy, you reduce the waste volume down to about 10% of what it currently is. and you reuse all that energy, and by using the pyrometallurgy, you don't put the plutonium in a form that anybody can make a bomb out of it.
Why aren't we doing this?
I would ask that question as well.
All right.
Well, if I had an answer for that one, I'd give it to you. Because in my book, nuclear power is the future. Well, and a few countries have figured this out. France uses 70% of their energy from nuclear power. Japan, who know a little bit about nuclear weapons, somewhere near 40-50%, and China's building reactors rapidly.
Well, John Camara in the studio with me talking about nuclear energy, something that is really shuffled aside. We don't hear about it a lot, and yet we have, what, 104
plants in the country and 64 different sites and 34 research reactors at various universities around the country, generating almost 25% of our power.
And there's really a fear of nuclear plants. Do you hear things like that?
I do, and I understand those concerns. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has actually evaluated that scenario and feel like their domes could withstand that sort of thing. We were talking about risk versus gain, and this is where you have to look at some things like that. Let's go back to those different sources of energy and what some of the negatives and positives are on those. Because, again, for nuclear power, no CO2 emissions, minimal air pollution, minimal water pollution as compared to the other sources. And you have the waste issue, but we just talked about that. If you recycled and reused this stuff, you'd reduce your waste about 10%. And let's say you have a 10-square-mile area of the country that you put the nuclear waste in and you say, hey, this is off limits. You say, well, that's an issue. But for coal, we're chopping down mountains in West Virginia and flattening the whole place. Oil, you know, we spill that stuff on the beaches and go into Arctic areas to drill, which, by the way, I think can be done safely, so I'm not slamming that. But I'm saying those risks are a lot higher than taking a 10-square-mile area of the country and roping it off. You need tens of thousands of acres of solar panels in order to generate that kind of power. So you're going to cover up huge swaths of land. And when they tried it in Arizona, there were complaints from the environmentalists that we were messing up the habitat of some desert rabbit. Animals are important. We need to learn to live with them. And it's my view that nuclear power allows that to occur with a minimal footprint on the land. Now, think about it scarred with thousands of wind turbines scattered across it. It turns out, again, people don't know this, they use specialized metals in those motors and the like in order to increase the energy density, and those things create toxic waste. The toxic waste never go away. Radiation at least decays, yes, over quite some time period, but at least it decays. The toxic waste does not. Wind energy, which appears to be the salvation if you look at all the media reports, what's never brought up is when the wind's not blowing, you need another source of energy, which means even if you build all these wind plants, you have to build something else to provide the power when they're not working. With coal, oil, natural gas, solar, wind, we are taking over thousands of acres of our country and putting these things on it and or scarring our landscape in order to get the energy. So it's a matter of comparing sources logically and deciding which one has the least impact.
All right, John, I want to thank you. We've run out of time here, but I want to thank you for coming in the studio and sharing a different kind of light on energy.
Well, I thank you for having me, and people out there, I want to say again, nuclear power is the future, and please do take a look at things from a logical standpoint and come to your own conclusions.
John Camara on News Radio Magazine. I'm Julie. Catch us next week right here, brought to you by Direct Radio Network.